This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta A-Stars. Place is yet another character in L.E. Kimball's new book, Seasonal Roads, a collection of connected stories about three women living in the wilderness of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Kimball understands the power of place. When she's not teaching at Northern Michigan University in Marquette, she lives off the grid with her son in a cabin on a trout stream. She talks about the journey that took her there.
Yes, I grew up around East Lansing and Hazlitt. Then I raised my children in Romeo, and I've been up here for about maybe 15, 16 years. And I just love being out in the morning. You know, I live off the grid up here. So it's just really exciting for me. I like it a lot. And I think I've always been attached to place because my great-grandfather ran the last steamboat that ran in the inland waterways around Traverse City and Elk Rapids and all these areas. And I've just always felt a great connection to place. But it was building up a lot, so I wanted to be out where it was a little more remote. And then I ended up teaching at Northern and what have you. So I guess they would not consider me a true youper, but I think I am.
To be a true youper, you probably have to be there at least for a few generations, I think, isn't it?
I think that's how they look at it.
Yeah, I lived up there and the key went off for a short while, and I know that I don't qualify at all, but I love the UP.
But a lot of them don't live off the grid. They don't know what it's like to really live. You know, they have camps, but they don't live full-time off
right.
the grid. So I feel like maybe I'm catching up faster. The bears, they're starting to hunt the bears now, and they're training their dogs. And you can hear that. They'll keep you up all night. And, you know, we do have bears here, and we have coyotes and, you know, all these kind of wildlife all around. So I actually do live in a more remote setting than a lot of youpers do.
So when you say off the grid, does that mean no plumbing, no electricity? How does that work?
It did at first. We didn't have a bathroom. I showered outside with one of those bags hanging from a tree, and we either had a porta potty or used the woods, and we sort of added things in as we went along. But it does mean I still have solar power. When I started living here full time, though, I had to end up with internet and things like that. So I have HughesNet, and I do have a TV and a landline. But we do have all solar power and a generator. So if anything goes wrong, and it can, you could be without power at any time.
And I can see already where these tough youper women in your book are coming from, obviously from some of your own experience.
True. I did start, I think the first story I actually wrote was I was really interested in women living in the wilderness, but I didn't live up here yet. So I guess I was using a little bit of imagination. It was that first story. Then I realized that I wasn't done with those women and had to continue on. So.
And I suppose if there's any place where you could say place becomes a character, it would be the UP.
I think so. Again, I was always interested in Northern Michigan in general because of my ties around Elk Rapids as well. But it's just a fascinating topic for me.
Now, when we touched base a little earlier, you talked about themes, and I do want to touch on those because I thought all of those that you mentioned were really fascinating. So let's kind of work through that. One of them was place's character. We've talked about that. But then there's also this untraditional view of religion where your approach is that faith can coexist with science.
It is, and I really believe that it can. That seems to be such a huge disruptive force in the world, and I've never really understood why they're so incompatible. If people actually believe that there was a creator at one point, I don't see why he couldn't have created science. So it's always kind of confused me. I went for a long time to Oral Roberts University, and you do get, well, I guess organized religion can be dismaying, to put it mildly, and yet there's a spirituality that I think is really important and that I think does carry through my work.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I asked L.E. Kimball how she developed the three intertwined stories of these three tough UP women.
When I first started writing this story, I didn't really have, my mother passed away fairly early, and I really didn't think I had her in mind when I started writing this. I wanted to write about a woman that lived off the grid in the wilderness, and obviously I wanted to write about how inaccessible we are sometimes to one another, the people that we are the very closest to sometimes almost always elude us a lot more than we hope. So I was interested in those themes a little bit, although I didn't really have my mother in mind. And so Norna is this recluse woman, and she lives. She's been married at one time. She is the type of person who needs to have a truth in a relationship, and marriage was not working out for her. So she left a fairly affluent life on Drummond Island and moved over here to the eastern part of the UP and lived in a cabin. Well, this was very perplexing to her daughter. So Norna is the most unknowable, and I think that unknowable quality drives our relationships so much. And she's the most unknowable, even to the reader as you're reading her. She's interesting and she's fascinating, but she still seems to hang on to her secrets. Asa is the more neurotic one in the middle, where she expresses a lot of her feelings. She doesn't think she's very much like her mother or her daughter, who seem to have this wild side to her. And she seems to want things answered for her, where the other women are content to frame questions and leave questions open in their lives. They know there aren't any answers. And somehow, I think Asa's exploration through the whole thing is to understand her mother and her daughter to a bigger degree and to come to some kind of terms with not having the answers that she really wants.
When I think about the UP literature that I've read, there aren't too many female characters in there, at least not in the forefront of stories. Are there some that inspired you or that I'm forgetting about?
Actually, about the UP writers themselves, when I first started writing, I can't say that I was, but I was very inspired by writers that were in the either upper Midwest around the Great Lakes areas, like, you know, Lori Moore and Louise Erdrich particularly fascinated me, especially because she had the length story format. And many of the women, and Margaret Atwood was a big influence, and she was also a wilderness writer in Canada, of course, but still around the Great Lakes. So I think they probably were a little bigger influence. There are some just great writers, female writers up here now that I met towards the middle and the end of my project, but I can't say as there was somebody that really stuck out that pushed me in a certain direction.
You're also an associate professor, correct, at Northern Michigan University?
Mm-hmm, yes, I am.
And what do you teach?
Well, I've taught Intro to Creative Writing when I was in the MFA program there, but mostly I adjunct and I teach composition, which works out pretty well since it gives me time to write.
What's the most important lesson that you teach to your students about writing?
Critical thinking, especially in a composition class, those analytical qualities that it takes to create characters. When I do teach creative writing, or I taught narrative writing for a little bit, I think those are all extremely important, and I think we're losing a little bit of the critical thinking aspect, and so I really emphasize that a lot.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with L.E. Kimball. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview, along with excerpts from Kimball's Seasonal Roads. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.